Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. I'm your host, Emma, and today I am interviewing Danny Durian of And a Pinch of Love. I had been following Danny for probably 2 or 3 years now. She is such an incredible human. We get along so well. If you guys have been seeing me make that salted maple cold brew, that recipe is originally from Danny, and we are both insanely obsessed with it. It's so freaking good. But in this episode, we dive into Danny's battle with cancer, her finding out who she truly is at her core, going through school, moving multiple times, and Instagram life as well, taking breaks and all that fun stuff. But I truly hope you enjoy this episode. If you could please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to it, send it to your friends, do all of that cool stuff. That would be so incredibly appreciated. I hope you enjoy, and we're going to head into this episode. So I'm so excited to have Danny on the podcast today. I finally reached out to her, and she kindly agreed to be on here. I'm going to let Danny take it over from here. She's going to give you some information about herself, and I'm going to let Danny take it over from here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited for this, and I'm so happy that you have a podcast like that. I think it's so cool that you started this. But yeah, thank you for having me on. And well, my name is Danny, and I currently live in Newport Beach. I have been living here for, I think, since September of 2019, so almost a year, and I've just been like everywhere. I've moved so many places in such a short amount of time, but yeah, I'm loving it here right now, and right now I am doing a lot. Actually, I am working with Just. I know you know the company. Just is a plant-based. Well, I mean, it's not really a plant-based food company, but it's a sustainable food company, and we make lots of amazing products. I work in the customer service and brand marketing team, mostly doing customer service, though. And so I talk to a lot of people. I've been doing that since May of last year. Oh my gosh, it's been a year. Well, so I've been doing that for about a year, and I also have an Instagram and blog. It's called And a Pinch of Love. So there I just do a lot of like, oh, it's been more mostly food. So I do a lot of like, I share a lot of what I eat and just like different types of recipes. But I'm like, right now I'm currently shifting that to a more of a lifestyle blog. Because when I first started, I didn't intend for it to be like a food blog, but it just turned out to be that way. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, I love that. And I know we were chatting before, and we're talking a bit about your childhood and growing up in California. And I want to you to share more information on growing up, because I think, as you've said before in the past, you're like, I'm not a super open book on Instagram, which I totally respect, because I know there are boundaries for everyone and they look different for everyone. But I want to know what it was like growing up in California. And you did mention that both your parents are immigrants, and what that felt like to be a child of two immigrant parents.
Yeah. So I grew up in a very small town. It's called Wasco. And it's still in California, but it's more in like the Central Valley, and it's a very small town. Like literally like everybody that I went to high school, I knew from like childhood, because we just like all went to like the same elementary schools. But yeah, I grew up with both my parents are immigrants. My mom and my dad, they came to America when they were pretty young. But they came with like nothing. Like my dad told me that he would like live in his car with like his cousins, like, because they just like didn't have, they came with nothing. And then my mom would like nanny. She started nannying, like she worked at like theaters, and then that's how her and my dad met. But yeah, so it was definitely interesting growing up, with two immigrant parents. Like that's all I really knew. So I didn't really know, like what it was to not live with two immigrant parents. But then growing up in school, I did kind of feel, I don't know, sometimes I felt like different than other kids, but then there were other kids that were also kind of from the same background. But I was bullied a lot as a kid, and I don't know why. Like, I feel like kids are just like really mean when you're, you know, when they're little, they just have like no filter. And I was always a very sensitive child. Like, I have three sisters or two other sisters. I'm the third or the middle child. So, growing up with them, they kind of bullied me too. So, but we bullied each other. So it was just kind of like a sister love kind of thing. And I really just was like the most in touch with my emotions. So like growing up, I was always like called like the sensitive one. And my mom would always tell me that I was super sensitive too. So like in school, like when kids were just like mean to me, it like really, really got to me. So growing up, I didn't really have too many friends actually. And I remember in like fourth grade, my older sister, she was like literally my best friend, like my whole life. My older sister was like, I told her like, kids are so mean to me. And like, I don't have, like, I don't know why I have no friends. And she was like, oh, I'll be your friend. It was so sweet. But yeah, so like all throughout middle school, like I hardly had any friends. And like, I had like a few bullies, and like there was like this one in particular that I like remember so clearly. And I remember she was just like so mean and like would push me in like the sprinklers. And like one time she like came with like a gang of people and like wanted to like beat me up for no reason. And I was like, what is going on? But yeah, so that's kind of like what happened in middle school. And then going into like high school, I still had a lot of like bullies, like girls just didn't really like me. And I hung out with a lot of my sister's like friends, because my sister was about like 4 years ahead of me. And when she graduated high school, I was going into high school. So sadly, I wasn't able to, you know, experience high school with her, but I did hang out with a lot of her friends that were like juniors going into senior year. But with that, I think a lot of the girls like just didn't like that for some reason. And like, I just had a lot of just, I don't know. I mean, I did have great friends in high school, but for the most part, I feel like I was good for the majority of my high school. And then, yeah, actually my senior year of high school, going into my senior year, I like was diagnosed with cancer, which is like crazy. Like I was, and, at this time when I was 16, I was doing this rose pageant, and, I was, you know, running for this rose pageant. My sister had done it her like senior year. So I just like, my sister's like always been my biggest inspiration. So I like did everything that she did. So yeah, going into this rose pageant, I like got diagnosed with cancer. Like it was so weird. I always knew something was wrong. Like before that, it was like my junior year of high school. All that year, I would get like these really bad, horrible abdominal cramps. And I didn't know like what it was. And my mom took me to like the hospital once. She took me to like multiple doctor visits, and they like did not know what the heck was going on with me. It was just like lack of them like actually trying to do research. And it was more of them like just assuming that like I was this young girl that was like, oh, it's probably just like her period cramps, or like there was a time where they're like, oh, she's probably just constipated, like just give her some mineral oil. So it was just like a lack of like, I think it was just like the people that we were going to just didn't like care enough. And then my senior year pageant, and we were practicing for a dance, and I got the abdominal cramps again, and it was just like so painful, and I had to sit out, and I was like really upset because I was like, what the heck, like why is this happening? But like usually it like would go away and it would just be like, okay, like it was like a few hours of this like horrible pain and it would just like be gone by the next day. And so that's what happened. And then a few days later, it happened again in class. And then I left class to go home because I just could not take the pain. And like in high school, if like you missed a class, like they would tell your parents. So like I missed like my next period class. And so they called my mom, and my mom called me, and she was like so pissed because she thought that I was using these like abdominal pain cramps like as an excuse to not go to class. Mm-hmm. And she was like, why are you missing class again? Like, and I was like, mom, like I really like this pain is horrible. Like I really can't take it. And she was just like kind of upset because she just like kind of didn't believe me. And she was just like, okay, well, we're going to take you to the doctor today because like you keep saying that you have this pain and like we're going to figure out what's wrong with you. So we went to the doctor, and by the time we got to the doctor office, the doctor was gone, but the nurses were just like, okay, well, we can do like a urine sample and see like if there's anything that we can do, or like we can try to figure something out, but like the doctor won't be able to see her today. So they did a urine sample, and that's when, that's whenever they found like blood and like ketone and protein in my urine. And like, they were like, this is not supposed to be in her urine. So like, you should definitely take her to the hospital. And, they sent me over to the hospital, and I was there for like almost a week, and they could not figure me out. Like, I was in the emergency room for like a night, and they just kept like running tests, and like I was in such horrible pain, and they were just like, how's the pain? And I was like, it's a 10, like it's a 10. I need whatever you're gonna give me. So they would like, they like shot me up with like morphine, and was like that was the only thing I could like handle. Like at the time, I was just like, okay, like I just take this pain away. And so they just kept running tests, and then eventually they ended up finding out, well, actually they didn't find out anything until they put me under surgery. So I was in my private room for a few days, and like the doctors were just like, so like they like ran appendicitis tests. They ran, like they did x-rays. They did like everything you can think of. And then finally the surgeon came into my room and was like, look, like, we don't really know what's going on with you. And like, it's just like at the point where like, all we can really do is like do a biopsy of like where the pain is, or you can just go home and like, just kind of see if it were to happen again. And it's up to you though. Like, I can't say that like I need to go in and do a biopsy, but I can ask for your opinion and like see if that's something you would want to do. And like at that time, I'm like so young and like don't even care about my health. I'm like, oh, but I'm doing a pageant. Like I have a pageant in 2 weeks. Like, am I still going to be able to do this? And like, that's all I cared about. Right. And so, I told them, I was like, well, like, I don't know. And so, he was like, okay, well, it's up to you. Like, you can either like go home and like not know like what's wrong with you, or like we can figure this out. I was like, fine, like I'll just go under surgery. And he like, obviously my mom was at work at this time. Like she was coming every single night. Like she would go to work in the morning and then like come at night and like stay with me and then like go to work. And so at this time she was at work, and they called her, and she was just like, okay, like I guess. And then like one of my aunts came to take care of me because an adult had to be there, but my mom was like, I'll be there right after work. But yeah, and so I like messaged the pageant coordinator. I was like, I'm gonna go into surgery right now. Like, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna miss practice. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, don't even worry about it. Like, are you okay? And I was like, I'll let you know what happens.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's insane.
I was like, but it's so funny that as like a kid, like, as like a 16-year-old, like, I did not even, like, if that were to happen to me right now, like, I'd be like, oh my God, like, I'm gonna die. Yeah. But at that time, I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna make it to my pageant?
It's like priorities, honestly. When you're a young kid, your priorities are, yeah, definitely not there, I feel.
Definitely not, like, if I'm gonna die or whatever. But yeah, so then I went into surgery and I remember waking up because they're like rolling me out of surgery. Oh my gosh, going into surgery was crazy. Like, they like were rolling me into the room and I just remember they were putting like the anesthesia like mask thing on my face and like they're rolling me in and like they had like music playing and like they were like hyping me up. They were like, oh, like, all right, girl, like, you got this. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I thought I was dreaming. But I remember that was just, like, such, like, such a vivid memory, but it was so funny.
Oh, and
I know, I was like, did that really happen? But anyway, whenever I was out, this lady was, like, rolling me out, and I was like, was it my appendix? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, like, I just went back to sleep. And then I woke up and like, my mom was like talking to someone and I kind of like was hearing what they were saying. And like, it just didn't seem like everything was right the way that I thought it was. And like, I thought I was going to like be done, like go. Like I was going to make it to my pageant. And so I was there for a couple more days and like, they weren't really telling my mom anything. Nor they were telling me anything. Like I was just the 16-year-old. Like they didn't have to tell me anything. And so my mom finally was just like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. And like, it's expensive for her to be here. So like, what the heck's wrong with her? Like what? And they're like, well, she just has a lot of like her white blood count is so high still. So she's like fighting off infection. So like, we need to keep her here. And she's like, my mom's like, okay, well, give me whatever antibiotics she needs and like I'll take care of her at home because like this is like ridiculous. Like, and they were just like, okay, well, like I guess like we can't like tell you to keep her in here. But so I ended up going home and like I like was in bed rest for like a week or something. And during this week, one of my friends came. She was like gonna go out and she like wanted to visit me and she was like, can I borrow an outfit? Like, I'm gonna come over. And I was like, okay. So she came over and like, I heard her knock the door and then like, it took her a while to come in. And then like, when she came in, she was acting so weird. And I was like, are you okay? And she was like, no. I was like, you have cancer, like you have stomach cancer and you're gonna die. And I was like, what? And I like freaked out. She's like, your mom told me not to tell you. And I was like, what? And I was like freaking out. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, yeah, they told your mom today on the phone and like she doesn't want to tell you because she doesn't want to scare you. And I was like, what do you mean? And then like at this time I was like freaking out because I was like, and I was pissed at my mom because I was like, why would she not tell me? But I called like my high school teacher, like my favorite high school teacher. Like I was like, my friend Wendy just told me that my mom told her that I have cancer. Like, oh my gosh. And he was just like, what? Like, are you kidding me? Like, it was crazy. But anyway, fast forward to like a few days, like I didn't want to like throw my friend under the bus. So I like just kept it to myself. But I remember like a couple days after that, I got this mail and it was like this big, like yellow envelope. And it like had my name and it was like the like Comprehensive Cancer Center. And like, I was like, what the heck? And I like cried. Like Emma, like I was like crying and I like remember like falling on my knees and I was like praying to God. I was like, God, like, I'm so sorry that I've been such a bad daughter. Like, I was like, please just give me. Yeah, it was so, like, it was so dramatic, but I was like, please just give me another chance to live. Like, I don't want to die.
Yeah, and when we hear the C word, we always think it means death. Like, when you hear the C word, you're like, I'm going to die.
Exactly, and I had an aunt when I was little. I had an aunt that died of breast cancer, so, like, I just thought, like, immediately, like, I'm going to die. Like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I remember, like, crying so much. And then whenever my mom got home, I was so upset with her. I was like, what is this? And she was like, oh, like, she's just, like, trying to play it off. She's like, oh, they're just, you know, we don't know anything yet. Like, they're just, like, going to check you out just in case. And I was like, Mom, why didn't you tell me about this? Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, this is my body. Like, how dare you? And, like, I was so upset with her. And she's like, don't worry, like, you're going to be okay. Like, we're going to go and just get it checked out. Like, it's everything's going to be fine. So she, like, really tried to calm me down. So I was just like, okay. And so, like, we went to this cancer center and, like, we talked to the doctor. And, like, it's just, like, growing up, like, my whole life, it was just, like, me always translating for my mom because she, like, hardly knew any English. So, like, I'm, like, going to my cancer doctor visit with, like, my mom who, like, hardly speaks English, and I'm, like, trying to, like, translate everything for her and, like, trying to, like, not cry at the same time. But the doctor, he basically was just like, okay, like, we found cancer. We found a malignant tumor in your appendix. But luckily, when the surgeon, like, found it, at the time he didn't know it was malignant, he just saw that your appendix was really swollen, and so he ended up taking, like, you know, taking it out. And he's like, so yeah, like, we found cancer. The cancer is called carcinoid cancer. And, like, at this time, like, I'm just literally, like, trying to, like, not freak out, and I was really trying to pay attention to, like, talk to my mom to translate what he was saying to me. And so, yeah, he was just like, I, you know, like, it looks like everything's okay, but, like, we just need to run some tests to, like, see if, like, there's anything that was left behind, or, like, if there's anything else that we need to take care of. So I was just like, oh, okay. So, like, he was, like, really good at explaining everything to me in a way where, like, he was just like, don't worry, like, we're gonna take care of it, and you're, like, so young that, like, first of all, it's very rare for you to even have this type of. He told me that, like, when people get carcinoid cancer, it's because, like, they already had cancer in, like, other, but, like, it's, like, older people that get this type of cancer, and it's, like, a very slow growing cancer. So, like, he was like, it's really weird that you even had this type of cancer. Like, when people find this cancer, they're, like, already gonna die. So he's like, and there's no symptoms. And, like, I had, like, symptoms, like, I had crazy symptoms for a year. So he was just like, yeah, you know, we're gonna try to figure this out. And so explained everything to my mom, and she was just like, okay. And it was just crazy because, like, throughout this whole thing, like, my mom was so nice to me. Like, my mom was, like, always, like, the hardest, like, parent on us. But, like, through going through this, she was, like, so nice to me. I was, like, getting, like, special treatment. But, yeah, so that's what happened. And fast forward to everything. Like, I was still able to do my pageant, by the way. Like, they just didn't let me do, like, the physical dances. So, like, and those were, like, my favorites. I was, like, really sad I missed out on that. But other than that, I did my pageant. And through this, like, going through this, like, it was, like, weird. Like, I feel like my, like, freshman to, like, junior year, like, I had a lot of, like, mean haters. And then, like, my senior year, like, everyone found out, like, oh, Dani has cancer. And then, so, like, I, like, quickly had, like, lots and lots of friends. Like, it was really weird. I was just, like, popular because I, like, was a cancer girl. Like, it's so sad.
That's so sad because it's like they ignore you, and then it's like when you have something, like, oh, we should be nice to her. It's like,
right. What? Well, that's just how kids are, because the kids are so mean. And then, like, they're like, oh, like, you know, because kids still have feelings. So they were just like, oh, wow, like, this girl could die. Like, let me be nice to her. But I mean, granted, I did have like, I always had like a good relationships with people. Like I had a good handful of friends that were like always like good to me, but like, I don't know, like it was just like, I had a lot of mean people to me too. But yeah, during this, like my senior year, like I, like it literally like changed me as a person, because like growing up, like because I was always bullied, I think that like I took, and I was also very angry, like because my parents are divorced, and like this happened when I was like in fifth grade, they like got a divorce, and like I think it, I didn't think it affected me, but I think in going through my teenage years, like I think I really like grew this like angerness, like this like anger.
I think everyone's kind of like, me. Like angsty, like an angsty teen.
Yeah. Like I definitely was that. Like, and I was like the most rebellious one out of my sisters. Like I literally got a freaking tattoo when I was 15 from like this dude that was giving like 18-year-old tattoos, and like he didn't even ask for my ID. He just was like, he just assumed that I was 18.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I was like definitely the most rebellious daughter out of my sisters. And yeah, my mom like had a lot, like I feel so bad for her because she dealt with so much because of me. And then like my senior year, I was like, oh, your daughter has cancer, like oh my gosh, like just to like put it like a cherry on top of everything. But yeah, so my senior year of high school, like I grew a lot of like the girls that were in the pageant, like they just like, I grew to like love them so much. And like, I like gained a best friend out of the pageant, and like all of them are like really, really close to me. And then I like, everyone started like loving me. I got like homecoming queen. Like it was just weird. Just like a weird transitional
full period. Circle.
Yeah, seriously. And then, yeah. And then, but yeah, going through the pageant. So like, that's whenever I finally had to decide if I wanted to go to college, because like going into the pageant, you have to like say that you need like your plans for the future.
And like, I know, totally. You like totally exactly. Know what you want to do when you're 16 for the rest of your life. Right.
Because I don't know, like the pageant is like a very like young woman kind of like, you know, like an aspiring young woman kind of thing. But at that time, like right before, I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to do with my life, but like, I have to like make something up because like, I have to look good in this pageant.
So, I love like, that.
And so at the time, yeah, so that's whenever I decided like, okay, like, well, I have to go to college, I guess. Like I have to plan to go to college. And my sister was going to college at this time. So like, she was like, always my biggest inspiration, so I was just gonna follow like what she was gonna do. So college was just like, I just didn't have an option. It was just like, okay, like I'm gonna go to college now, and like that's what's expected of me, so that's what I have to do. And like, plus my parents being immigrants, like all they, my mom, like all she dreamed of was like to have her daughters go to college. Like that was my mom's just like number one dream, and like that's all she wanted us to do. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I did. And I was going to go to college with one of my best friends, and she decided she wanted to go to Fresno State, which is still in the Central Valley, but it's like an hour and a half away from the hometown that I grew up in. So I applied to go to Fresno State. And I got in, and her and I were supposed to go together. Like, it was going to be this, like, great, like, thing, right, that we were going to experience.
And when you're young kids, you think, like, everything is going to be perfect. I was reading a Christmas card that my friend wrote me in junior high. And she's like, I think we should rent a small apartment together when we're in university. And I was, when I look back on it, I'm like, we didn't even go to the same university. It's like, you left. Like, you
that's
left.
That's hilarious.
Like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with my best friend and I. She wanted to go to college at Fresno State. And I think her parents went there. So that's why she wanted to choose that. So I applied to Fresno State because I like wanted to do that too. And I was honestly scared to go to school by myself. Like, I grew up in like a very small town. So like going with a friend, like, was only like, you know, that was the only safety that I like felt. So I was like, okay, like, I'll go and like, we're going to be okay. And it's not that far from home. And so I went to Fresno State. I got accepted. And my best friend, like, last minute, did not go to Fresno State, and she joined the Air Force.
Oh my gosh.
When she told me this, because we both swam in college, so our senior year, our last year of swimming together, we were going to go to this, like, big swim meet, and then I told her at the swim meet, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to go to Fresno State with you. Like, I was, like, trying to hype it up, and she was like, yeah, like, and she's like, I have something to tell you, and I was like, what? And she's like, I know you're so excited, but like, I decided to join the Air Force. And I was like, what?
You're like, so, wait, like, what?
I was like, wait a minute. Like, what? So that, like, I was like, wow. Like, cause I had already accepted my offer at Fresno State. Like, I was like ready to go. And so I was like, okay, well then, like, I guess that leaves me to like be on my own at school. That's pretty much how that happened.
Mm-hmm. Because you did dietetics, right?
Yeah. So actually when I applied to Fresno State, I applied for psychology. And because like I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I like heard that like I like liked psychology. Like I liked watching like movies with like crazy people, and like I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be a psychiatrist and like help all the crazy people. Like that's how I thought, like, cause that's in the movies. That's how it looked. I was like,
and oh my it's gosh. Like glam.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like, wow, like, you know, making a difference. But, when I went into psychology, like my first semester, my psychology professor was like kind of like intense for me. And like, I did not learn anything from that class. And, then my second semester, I had to retake the class because I don't think I passed with the C. Like I passed with like a D. And like, oh, also like going into college your freshman year, it's like whole different thing than like high school. Like
the first year that I did university, I flunked my first math exam because I was like, what the heck? You want me to fill out like 20 pages within 45 minutes? Like I've never done that before.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Like, I don't even remember having much homework in high school. And then, like, going into college, I was like, wow, this is crazy. But anyway, so yeah, my second semester, I took another psychology class. And I was like, okay, this one's it. And although I did like it, I just was like, okay, I don't see myself doing this for, like, because I wanted to be a psychiatrist. So I was like, okay, if I do this, like, I have to go to school for, like, 8 years. And like, you know, like, I don't know, like, I just didn't know how I was going to do it. So, and granted, like going into it, like, I didn't even want to go to college. It was more like, there was just no option for me. Like I just needed to go. And then my going into that class, I was like, okay, like, this is not what I want to do. And then I was like, oh, like, maybe I would be a winemaker. So then like I took a semester of like enology. So I was like, okay, I'm going to maybe do winemaking. And then like, I didn't like it. So then
I can't even picture you being like on a vineyard, like producing. Imagine. Oh my gosh.
Just like taking care of all my, you know, whatever, yeah, the vineyards, and, like whatever. But yeah, so I ended up talking with my sister, because obviously like I took all of her advice. And so I was like, okay, like, I don't really know what to do. And I've always been like very creative. Like growing up, like I loved to draw. And like, I would like ask my mom, like, mom, do you want me to draw you? And she was like, oh, okay. So like draw her, like, it was like hilarious. And so like, I thought I was just like this artist. And so my older sister, she was like, I think that you would love interior design. Like you have like this like very like artsy side of you. And like, I think you would just love it. And like at that time I was like, what is interior design? And so like, she told me, like, she's like, it's like architecture, but like not really. And so I was like, ooh, okay, like I'm down, like let's try this out. So then I went to my first interior design class and I was like, you know, like I kind of like this. It was just understanding the concept of design. And so I was like, wow, like I really like this. Like this is awesome. So I started taking more interior design classes, and I did interior design for like 2 years. And I met one of my best friends in interior design class, and like I fell in love with her. Like we were just like the best of friends, and like I'm a Scorpio and she's a Scorpio, so like we just got along so well. And we started hanging out more. Her and I, like, we learned a lot about each other, and we both learned that we loved nutrition. Like we would go out to eat and then like eat, like go to Whole Foods and like get like healthy snacks and stuff. And like, we were like, that's how we bonded. We were like, oh my gosh. Like, and then I started telling her about all the documentaries I watched on like Netflix. I was like, oh my gosh, have you seen like this documentary? Like, and she would be like, oh no. And then we like talked about like the blood type diet, like all these things. And, so that's how we really bonded. And then like almost the end of the second year of my interior design, like education, some of the staff came into one of our classes and told us that like we were probably not going to get accredited anymore in like 2 years. So like they were just like saying like, oh, just a heads up, like we might not qualify to get accredited, but like if we work really hard and like we get the staff that we need and we get a lot of students to be in this program, like we might get accredited. And so I was like, what? And so I was like, what does that even mean? And they were like, well, if you don't get accredited, then your degree would just be an art major. And I was like, oh my gosh, like my mom was already kind of like weirded out that I was doing interior design. Cause like, she was like, what is that? Like, but like, she didn't really understand. She didn't understand anything about college. And so whenever they told us this, I was like, wait, that's like really risky. So then, I told my older sister and she was like, that sounds like not like good. Like, I don't think that you should do that. Like, I don't think you should stick with that. And then my best friend and I talked, and then we both decided like, you know what, screw this. Like, let's not finish interior design, because like, if it doesn't work out, then that would just suck. And like, let's do something that we love. So we decided let's switch over to nutrition and we'll do it together. And like, we'll try to like knock everything out. Cause like we were literally starting all over. Like it was like, we went from all art classes to like, now all science classes, like it's like a whole different world. So like her and I were like, okay, we're going to do it together and we're going to knock everything out as fast as we can. And we're going to work together to like finish whatever we need to finish. And, at this time, like the best, like we talked to counselors and the best option was to join the dietetics program. And they explained to us how, like, if you only have a nutrition degree, you basically don't really get good jobs. But, like, if you become a dietitian, then, like, you can work in, like, hospitals or you can do your own private practice. And so we were like, okay, let's do this dietetics program. So we literally started from scratch and, like, had to take all the freaking prerequisite classes, like all the science classes, and like they were so hard for us. Like, but if we didn't do it together, I don't think I could have like done it like by myself, because it was so stressful. And like we basically took the same classes as like people going into like pre-med, like except we didn't take like a couple classes, but like it's literally like the same classes. And so we ended up going through it. And then my last year of my college experience, So like my last senior year, I actually had to do two senior years. So I was in college for like 6 years. Wait, yeah, that's two senior years, right? But yeah, so we started doing, so my last year of college, I had been with this guy for like 3 years in college, and our relationship just became like super toxic. And I had to decide, like, okay, like, do I want to stay with him and like, or do I not want to stay with him? So, I think it was like right before my senior year, actually, I ended up like breaking up with him, and like, it was like a really like scary experience. Like, I was with him for like almost 3 years. So like, that was like, I just like, didn't know how to like handle like not being with someone for, like, after being with them for so long. Mm-hmm. And at this point, like, everything changed for me, because at this point, like, I thought that I was gonna like marry him. So I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna go to college, and or I'm gonna finish my dietetic program, and then like go into the dietetic internship, and then become a dietitian, and like I just had it all figured out, right? And so at this point, I kind of like just, everything just changed for me, I guess. I was going through a heartbreak, and I was kind of like just like not loving what I was learning in nutrition. And that was around the time when I started my Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was like really like loving doing my blog and my Instagram. And that's whenever I decided, like, do I want to do like dietetics, or do I not want to do dietetics? Cause like the year before your senior year is when you apply to the dietetic program. And like before that, you're just like in the nutrition program, right? Like, you're just doing nutrition classes and all the prereqs. And so like, and going into the dietetic program, like, there are so many requirements, and like, I basically had all of them except for just applying. Like, I had all of my hours. Like, we had to do clinical hours. So I was doing the cancer center. So I volunteered at the cancer center and worked with dietitians there. And then we had to do community hours, which I did a WIC. That's like woman, infant, and child. And then I did that for community hours. And then I also worked as a server at a restaurant. So I was doing all of my hours and obviously taking all the classes I needed to do, and like partaking in like different programs that the program wanted us to be involved with. And then right before I needed to apply, like, all I needed to do was just like go through the whole application process. But at the time, I was like dealing with a breakup, and like, I was just like, I don't think I have the energy to like do this. And like, I don't even know if I want to do this for the rest of my life anymore. So I decided to change my mind. I was like, okay, I'm not going to finish as a dietetic student. I'm going to just finish as a nutrition student and just get my bachelor's in nutrition, and like, screw it. Like, I think I'm just going to go to France and go live there and work on a farm. Like, I literally thought I was going to like live in France. And then I was like, and maybe like something, like, you know, something will happen. I don't know, like a miracle will happen, and I'll like find myself again. So yeah, that's what happened. And actually, that's not what happened. I didn't go to France, but I ended up finishing my degree as just I had a nutrition degree, and that was it. So like, mm-hmm. I still walked with all of my friends, and like my best friend, she continued doing dietetics. And like, that was that. We like graduated. And then after I graduated, that's whenever I went, I didn't end up, actually, I went to France. So like, I bought myself tickets to go to France just to visit. Cause I was like, okay, I want to just visit and see like if I love it. And like, if I don't, then like I can reevaluate. Right. So I ended up going to France after I graduated. I took a trip there. I also went to Barcelona for like a few days during my trip.
Yeah, I think you went right before me. Like you went right, I think you were traveling Europe right before I went that year too. And you were like giving me all of these recommendations in Barcelona.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was so good. And like all the recommendations, I'm going to add some to the show notes because I feel like people don't know where to go for like good vegan food when they're in Barcelona. Like at least I didn't. I was like, what right. the heck? Like, I'm just going to eat paella, which like I can't eat because it's not vegan.
Yeah. Well, and surprisingly, like Barcelona had a lot of good, like healthy options. Like it was like, wow, I was not expecting that at all, but they were like on it. But yeah, you should definitely do that because, I mean, once everyone
the
can
flax
start
and kale place.
Yes, that place is so good.
Yeah, that place is amazing.
I think
amazing.
Remy actually told me to go there. I think I had asked her. But yeah, that place was so good.
Yeah, all the recommendations, I think you like sent me them on Instagram. I was like, thank you so much. And I like literally went to every single one you told me to go to.
That's so cute. Yeah, that's... Yeah, that was a good time. But
you
I
like a little Eat, Pray, Love. Like you did an Eat, Pray, Love solo Eat, Pray, Love tour.
Literally, that's what it felt like. Like I was just like, you know, I'm just going to go find myself over there. And yeah, so I went over there and then I met so many people. Like it was such an amazing experience. Like I learned, like going to yourself to a different, like going by yourself to a different country and like, just like I didn't even have like a big itinerary, honestly. Like I just like knew like I wanted to go to certain places, but like, and I bought tickets for some things, but like I didn't have a plan. Like I would just like went and like I barely had any money. Like I like used like graduation money that people gave me and like my credit card. I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna go bankrupt here. But yeah, so I just went for it and it was such a great experience. And I met so many people. I met this girl messaged me and she was like, oh my gosh, like this is, I know this is, might be kind of weird, but like, I've been following you and like, I'm from LA, but I live in Paris. And like, if you want to hang out, like we totally should. So I was like, yeah, like why not? So I hung out with her and I asked her like, so how did you move here? Like, I need to know because I want to move here too. And she's like, oh, well, like I go to school here. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And she's like, yeah, it's actually really hard to just like come and like live here. Like you need like a legit reason. Like you need either like a job or you need to go to school. And so I was just like, oh, okay. And I was just like, so like, I can't move here just because I want to. So like those dreams are like crushed in that time. I was like, wow, like this is going to be a lot harder than I thought. And I wanted to do this program called WOOF. Like, have you heard of woofing?
Isn't it like working on a farm?
Yeah, like working on organic farms. My little sister's like one of her ex-boyfriends used to do that. And like he would go to like Taiwan and like she was like, she told me that he did that. So I was like, wow, like maybe I can do that in France. So I thought I could do that. But yeah, I also met a lot of other Instagram people. I met a few people just like they like, I don't know if you follow Clem Foodie. She lives in France.
I think I've heard of her before. Yeah.
Yeah. I met up with a few more people, but it was just like such a cool experience. But yeah, so that was that. But anyway, I came back and I ended up realizing like, okay, so I don't think I can go to France. Like, and then I started doing more research on woofing and there were a lot of reviews that were like so like weird. Like people were like, oh my gosh, my experience here, like they had me work so much that like I couldn't even get, I didn't have time to like travel. Like I just like worked all the time and I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of like not what I want to do. Like
you're like not my dream.
Not my dream to just like be overworked on a farm. Like, no, like, so then I decided to not do that. I was like, okay, like, I'm just gonna figure it out. But yeah, which takes me to moving to SoCal. So I like, obviously at this time, like I was like really into social media, like Instagram, like my Instagram was like growing and like, I was like building like such a big community with everyone who was doing Instagram too.
Yeah, you were killing. You were killing it, and you still are.
Oh, thanks. No, but at that time, like, I was like, I don't even know how. Like, I think, like, after, because I started my Instagram, like my right before my senior year of college, and at that point, like, I honestly just wanted to like have like a little like platform to like share with my friends and family. Like I didn't think it would ever be like, I didn't even know Instagram could do this, like make people like huge. Obviously like I'm not huge, but I'm just saying like I didn't know that that would be like anything that I could ever achieve. Like I just wanted it to be like, oh, I just want a blog, and like my best friend and I talked about like having a blog, and we like just wanted to share, I guess we just share recipes and share any nutrition knowledge that we were gaining from school. And so at this point, like I wasn't like hardcore trying to do anything with it. Like I just was just sharing like whatever I could, whenever I could, since I was so busy. But then whenever I broke up with that ex-boyfriend, I really got like, I think just like going through a breakup, like you just like, I don't know, it was just like, okay, like at this time, like I just wanted to express myself like creatively, and I really like focused on this Instagram and like just like started doing like a lot of, I think it just turned into food, because I just like saw that people really reacted well to food, and like people were like really like interested in like getting recipes, or just interested in just seeing what like, you know, healthy recipes or food that I was sharing, more so than like the nutrition information that I was sharing. So I think that's why it just became like a food blog. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so the more and more I was like going through this breakup, I just kept doing more and more like food photos, and then I like just saw that it was like growing. And I remember like one of the first brands that reached out to me was like, what is the brand called? Is it Navitas or Natitas?
Oh yeah. Navitas. It's like a superfood.
Yeah. Navitas. They like reached out to me, and like, I was like already using their products. Like I loved their like cacao powder and like the cacao nibs. And I remember like seeing them at Whole Foods all the time. And like they reached out to me, and they were like, oh, like I was so in shock. I was like, what? Like, this is what happens. Like they just, a company just reaches out to you, and like, they just want to like partner up. Like I was like, this is crazy. But like at the time, they just like wanted to send me product. Right. And I was like, of course, like send me whatever you want, and I will definitely make content for you.
Yeah.
I was like so excited. I was like, wow, like I'm honored. Mm-hmm.
And I can say that, like, yeah, the world of Instagram, like the food world of Instagram, wasn't as saturated as it is now, like even 2 years ago.
Right. And, yeah. At this time. Yeah, definitely.
It was not saturated very much. And I just remember like 2 to 3 years ago, it was easier to like be in this space. Do you know what I mean? Like if you had like good photos and good recipes, like your content just like literally would fly.
Yeah, it blew up. And I remember like when I first started, I like did not know how to take a picture. Like I was never in any photography classes. Like I was just like gonna take a picture with like my phone, and like that was it. And I think like whenever I started growing more, I just started getting like trying to like make my stuff better, and like I just started getting better at like editing. But yeah, that's when I started seeing like more and more followers. Like I remember I got like my first like big like milestone, I guess, was like 1,000 followers, and I was like, oh my god, like I have 1,000 followers, like that is crazy. And then yeah, at that time, it like would just like go, like it would just shoot up so fast. But yeah, those times were so fun. Like I just remember, like I would just get so excited. I was like, wow, like people are really loving this. Like, I'm so happy. But yeah, so I forgot what we were talking about before that.
Oh my gosh, it's all good. Social media. But you were doing this for like a couple of years, right? And then recently, like in the past year, you took some time off. And
right,
I think people are so afraid to take time off from social media, like whether that's a week or a month or even a year. They're like, oh my gosh, but social media is like always going to be there, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, I started this in, so I started my blog October 2016. So like, oh my gosh, that's like almost 4 years. And I think I was saying earlier, before breaking up with that guy, like I wasn't really like trying to post anything all the time. Like I would just post when I could. But then, once I started seeing it growing, like that's when I started posting like a ton more. And like the more I posted, the more like it would grow. And I just saw that. And so I was doing this, like going to school, like volunteering, working at a restaurant and doing this. Like, I don't even know how I did it. But yeah, I moved. So after I didn't move to France, I moved to Huntington Beach. So I know you follow Wellness with Courtney, right? Mm-hmm. So her and I, we decided, okay, like I should move in with her. Like, let's do it. And I moved in with her and Nate. And at this time, like we moved in together and we were having so much fun doing Instagram. And like Courtney works so hard. Like she works her butt off. And so at this time, like, I think I was still posting consistently, but I think I started posting like a little bit less and less. And like, I was really just trying to like focus on just like living here. And like, it was just such a different world than living in Central Valley and like, you know, what I was used to. And I was really trying to experience like living in Huntington Beach. And then after that, I ended up moving to, so Courtney and Nate got a van, which is so cool. Like now they're just like thriving in their van and it's like the most beautiful van I've ever seen. but I ended up moving with my sister and, her boyfriend and I moved to Danville, California, which is in the Bay Area. And so at this time, my sister was like, okay, like you should find a job now. Like it's been almost a year since you graduated school. So like you should do something with your degree. And like in my mind, I was just like, what? Like I can't just like have fun. Like I just can't just like live my life. Like what? And so she's like, no, like, you know, like you probably shouldn't like work at a restaurant forever. Like it's not sustainable and it won't really help you grow. And so that's when I was like, okay, like I'll find a job. So I job searched and I ended up getting a job with Just full time. And, I was like, so I was working 7 days a week and like also trying to do, so like where my sister lives, it's like an hour away from San Francisco, which is where I was working at. And we would take the BART, which is like the little train to get there. And it was literally like a 2 hour commute there and then coming back another 2 hours. So like every day we would wake up around 6 and then leave at like 7 and then like go, I would go to work and like work for 8 hours and then like come back for another 2 hour commute. And like, it was really, it was crazy. Like, I don't understand like how I was doing it. And I was going there Monday through Friday and then like also trying to do Instagram. Like, and so at the time, like, I think I started posting like a little bit less consistently. And like, I was just like, there was like, at that point, like I was just, like, giving me anxiety to like not post all the time. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm not like really like in touch with like my Instagram and like the people who are following me on there, and it would like give me anxiety. And then after a while, like I was just like, okay, well, like I can only do so much, right? So I think I stopped posting a lot during like, I want to say like June, like May, like once I started like really getting involved with my job right now. And then I ended up moving back here. So like it didn't end up working out living with my sister and her boyfriend. And I decided that I would come live back here in Newport, or here in Orange County. And so I ended up moving here because my boyfriend, which I have already been dating for a while now, he was living here in Orange County, and like we had met here, and then I moved away, and then like we were doing long distance for like the few months that I was living with my sister. And whenever I was deciding to move back, I was like, okay, like if I move to SoCal, like my boyfriend's still there, and like he would be like a great support system for me to like, it, you know, like it would just work out, and would work out even better, like given our relationship had been long distance for a while. And so yeah, I decided to move back here. And going through the move, like at this point I had moved like, I want to say like 3 times in like less than like a year and a half. And it was just like a lot. Like I was like, mm-hmm. at this point, like this move was like a big thing where I was just like, okay, like I have to move all the way back now. So at that point, like it wasn't like I intentionally was like, I'm going to have an Instagram break. Like it was just more so like, dang, I got to move. And like, it's just a lot right now. And like, on top of that, like I somehow was able to manage, having just like letting me work for them remotely, which was like such, like I'm just like so grateful for that. And yeah, so like I was able to manage that, and like so I still felt like, okay, I still have a job, and like I'm gonna move over there and everything's gonna be okay. And but yeah, so with the break, like I didn't intend for it to be like such a long break. It was just like, okay, like I'll get back on it like as soon as I can, like as soon as I start feeling like, you know, comfortable and like I can start like getting back on. But this was like at the end of July I moved, and then so September I ended up getting an apartment with one of my friends here in Newport Beach. And because that my boyfriend and I did not want to move in together that fast. And like, we want to like move in together, like once we're married and everything. And so I moved here to Newport, and I was working from home and trying to adjust. And then like, there were so many times where I was like, okay, like I'll get back on Instagram like today, or like maybe I'll get back on Instagram like next week. But like, I just like could not, because I was trying to work, and then also being in a relationship, like when you're trying to like grow a relationship, like it takes so much time. And like I hadn't been in relationships since like my last boyfriend, which was like in college. So like I truly did not know how to be with a person, like at first. Mm-hmm. Like it was so like different from what I had in the past. And like I had spent so much time by myself that I was like not know how to be with another person. Like, and so going through a relationship and like growing that, like it really helped me, and like it changed me in a way where like I now know how to like be with a person. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like it just taught me how to communicate with someone, right? Like it's still teaching me how to communicate with someone, like as effectively and like efficiently as I possibly can, where like I'm trying to understand where they're coming from and understand that like that person is like a completely different person than I am. And like they have a completely different background than I am. So like communicating with each other, and it was a lot. Like it honestly, like I, like relationships are hard work. And so.
And like, Instagram is hard work.
Instagram is hard work, and like putting all of that time and like putting time into like my other job too. Like it was just a lot. And then, financially I was in such a bad place from like moving to place from place to place. And like, I had just been out of college for like a little bit over a year. And so like, I still had a lot of college like debt that I had accumulated over the years. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And like, at this point, like I never really took on too many partnerships on Instagram. Like for some reason, like I was always kind of like I would only take them when it like felt right. And like, I like kind of felt bad for taking some, like a lot of the times, like I don't know why.
No, same here. Like I don't even know. Like I think I've done like 3 partnerships over the past 2 or 3 years. And it's just because I think it's just, I don't know, if I don't feel like I can actually say it and not feel cringy, like, you know,
yeah,
I just can't do it.
No, absolutely. I 100% feel that, because that's kind of how I felt. Like, I don't know, it just like felt so out of the norm for me to be like, I don't know, like some people can just do it so beautifully, but like me, like it was definitely like a learning curve for me. As like, I'm just like, I don't know, like it just doesn't feel like, I don't know. And I just like felt like I didn't want to be like a sellout kind of thing. Like I wanted to like still keep that like, I don't know, like connection with people, like just me and them. Like I'm not trying to sell you anything. Like, I don't know. But
And I think I'm not good at it naturally. Like I'm like, maybe try this. I don't know. Maybe if you want to.
Oh my gosh. Same. Like, and even as a server, like I like genuinely will tell people like, oh my gosh, I love this thing. Like you should definitely get that. Or like if people are like, okay, can you tell me like what to get? Like, what would you like, this or this? And I'd be like, oh my gosh. Like I'm just like really honest with them. Like, I'm not like, you should get the most expensive thing on the menu, you know? Like, I'm just like, honestly, like, don't get that one. Like, so that's just how I am, like, naturally. But yeah, so in October, I was like, I need to make more money, because like, I'm falling behind on like my personal finances, and like my, like, I'm not caught up on my debt. Like I need to like get on a roll here and like get out of this stupid debt. And so I started working at True Food again. And so as a server, and so I started working there Friday through Sunday. And then I was doing, or I'm still doing, just Monday through Thursday. So I've been working, or I was working 7 days a week. And so like at that point, like I was like, wow, like I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back on Instagram, because like it's going to be a lot. It's like working 7 days a week, trying to maintain a relationship, trying to like, you know, like just like so many things at once.
trying to just live in general.
Exactly. So then in October, I started working at True Food again, and then November came and I was like, you know what? Like, I think I want to start Instagram again, but like, I just don't really know like if I want to keep it the same as I had been in the past. And I was like, oh, you know, like maybe I'll start sometime soon. And like, I don't know, it just felt very like, just being off of Instagram for so long, like, although like I was still like scrolling to see like what my friends were posting, but like me, I wasn't like posting and like putting stuff out. I don't know. It felt like once you don't do it for a while, you kind of just like kind of forget to. It's like a muscle. Like you have to like really consistently do it to like be in like the groove of things. And like me being out of it for so long, like at this point it was like, it had been over like 4 or 5 months, I feel like. And so in November, I was like, okay, like, I think I want to go back and do it. But this time I think I want to like also do like YouTube. So then at this point, I was like, okay, like maybe I'll start YouTube. So at the end of November, I bought a camera and I was like, maybe I'll start a YouTube channel too. And like, maybe I can like connect with people in a different way, because in the past, people had only really seen like my food posts. So like, I didn't feel like a strong connection with people. Like, although like the support I've had on Instagram, like people are so like the community on Instagram, like people are so great. Like people are so encouraging. And I feel like for the most part, Instagram is positive versus like other social media outlets. But yeah, so Instagram, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to get back on here and like try to do something a little bit different. And then I told my boyfriend about YouTube and he was like, oh my gosh, yes, like do it. He was like super supportive. And like, he had always been supportive. Like he was like, when are you going to get back on your Instagram? Like, are you going to do anything on your Instagram anymore? And I was like, no, like, I don't think so right now. Like, I'm just too busy. And like, he was like, so always so encouraging. And like, finally, when I was like, okay, like, I think I want to get back on. And he was just like, nothing but supportive. And my roommate too, she was just like, yeah, like, you need to get back on there. Like, she's like, and at this point, I was like, well, if I get back on, like, are people even going to remember who I am? Because like, I don't really feel like I like gained any kind of like real personal connection overall with people, because I just feel like all I really shared was my food.
Yeah, so same.
I don't think people are gonna care. Like, there are like a lot of other food Instagrams, like people probably are making like way better things than I am now. And so like, I was just like, okay, like, let's just see where this goes. So then I think in December, I posted a picture of like me in like Newport and I was like, I'm back. Like, I took a break, but I'm back. And I was like genuinely so excited to come back. And then I don't know what happened, but like obviously just like life happened again. And like, I just got so busy. And it had been like a week since I posted that. And every day I was like, okay, I'm going to post something again, but I didn't have like anything to post. So I was just like, oh my gosh, like, this is not the right time. Like, why did I even put that out there on like what? Like, I don't even have time for this right now. So then I was like, okay. And each week I was like, okay, like, I'm going to get back on. And then I just was not getting back on. Like, I was just like, wow, like, I guess I can't really do this right now. And then cut to like, I think it was March whenever Remy came to visit me. So we were supposed to go to Food Expo and she was going to come visit me and it was going to be so fun. And I had told her about my, like, me wanting to start a YouTube. And since she has a YouTube, I like wanted her input and she was like, oh my gosh, yes, like do it. And so I told her, I was like, okay, well, I have a camera. So like, maybe we can do, like, maybe we can film while you're here. And she's like, okay, yes. So then, when she was here, she was like she literally was training me. Like, it was so funny. Like, we would go somewhere. She's like, are you gonna take your camera? And I'm like, oh yeah. Like, almost like forgot that thing. Yeah. Like, cause it's so hard if you're not like doing it all the time. Like, it's hard to remember. Mm-hmm. Like, when, and like, that's the thing with the break. That's like doing the break for so long. Like, I was just like, oh, like, I kind of forgot like what it's like to like, you know, like pick up my camera and like share. And so yeah, once Remy was here, she was like training me and like, we just filmed and like, I was so nervous to film and I was like, wait, I can like, you know, like I don't have to be so nervous. Like I can like edit this and like, it's not like I'm taking a video right now and it's going to be put out right now. Like mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Alive.
Yeah, like, it's not alive.
Lives are so awkward. Like, you're just saying,
oh my gosh, I've never done a live, but like that.
I did just too, insane. And I basically wanted to like pee my pants the entire time. It was so
that
bad.
No, you are such a great speaker. Like, you never sound nervous to me ever.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Because I feel like people are like, oh my gosh, this girl's so nervous right now.
No. Oh my gosh, that's how I feel all the time.
I'm like, sorry for my awkwardness.
Same. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I just say that?
Literally me.
But yeah, so I started my YouTube channel. And so I've been doing that, and I came back on Instagram, which has been great. And like, I feel like since I took a break, I feel like Instagram to me before was like such like a way, like it's always been a great way to express myself creatively. But I feel like when I was like away from Instagram and like posting, because like when you're in, like, especially in the food blogging like area of Instagram, like you're so like pigeonholed to be like this like food blogger, so like you always have to post food, and like if you don't post food, it's like people don't really know like what, like they're like, wait, who is this person? Like,
Like, yeah, that's like what? Where I've been kind of like trying to get away from the whole food thing, because like you said, like obviously people are so supportive, but at the same time you don't feel like this actual like connection to people, and I just crave connection and engagement. And I just feel like, yeah, it's like, oh, I made these cookies, like yes, they're good, but like if you comment they look good, like thank you, but like I just like having a conversation with people.
Exactly.
And it does pigeonhole you for sure.
Yeah, and that's definitely like what I was craving, was just like more of a connection. And I think that's why I started my YouTube channel, because I was like, I just want people to like get to know me more than just like the food, because I'm happy to like share any kind of recipes if that makes like people happy. Like I know for me, like I love to look up recipes, and like I like to, you know, see what's out there, get inspiration, and which I'm like super happy to do. But once I was out of Instagram, like once I was away from posting, like I really like learned a lot about myself as well. Like I like gained new interests, and like being in a relationship, like I gained so much insight from that as well. And like I'm just like I crave more of like a deeper connection with people, like in my overall life. Like that's just the person that I am. So like putting this, like I feel like before, like, and I don't think I was doing it intentionally, but like when I was like hardcore into Instagram, like I was putting up this like character of like, oh, like I just like love to make healthy food, and like that's it, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, but like going away from it, I've like learned so much about myself, and like I'm just like, wait, like that's not what I want to share with the world. Like I want to share more. And I don't know, like I feel like we're all pretty unique and different, and like have different kinds of insights, and like I feel like that can be very valuable to people as well. So
no, yeah. I'm 100% agree with you. It's like I remember I was like so hardcore into Instagram a year ago, or like a year and a half ago, and I would post like twice a day, every day, and it would be like food. And like you said, it's like you put something out that's not food, and people are like, wait a minute, who is this? And I'm like, well, actually, yeah, like there's not like a robot that makes my food. Like, yeah. I But yeah, I totally agree with you. I've always been that way too. I like having meaningful like conversations with people, or you know, talking about something other than just one subject, because I'm like a very multi-dimensional person, and I think we all are. So I think that's really inspiring that you're just like, okay, I'm going to do the YouTube thing because I really like creating conversation on a different platform. And, you know, we all are more than one thing. And I like, as much as I love Instagram, I think it's kind of sad that like this app can tell us like what does well and what doesn't. And like, if you kind of step outside of those lines, it's not like deemed not acceptable, because you obviously you can like post whatever the heck you want, but like in the Instagram rules, like air quotes, it's not deemed virtuous, you know?
Right.
Which is really sad.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that's how I've perceived it. And like, I feel like now it's like, okay, well, like that's kind of how it is, but also like, it doesn't have to be that way. And I think like all it takes is like people just having like the courage to like step out of the comfort zone and like put things out there that, you know, that like they feel like they genuinely love and like maybe has some kind of value for people. And like, if it does bring value to people, then it'll bring value to people. Even if people aren't like super like fond of it, like, oh, like, what? Like, what? This is not a picture of your toast. Like, what? But there are going to be the handful of people that do. So I think that that's something that I've talked to myself about. It's like, it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, that's only the way that I've perceived it. And like,
Exactly. Like, I really like how you said it only takes a few people to really step outside of their comfort zones, I think, to change the way that like we do things, you know?
And that's the thing, like learning also like working with Just, like I've learned so much about just like branding and like, you know, it's like they're actually like a food brand. Like they are a company and like, but there's also so many people behind the company and like there are real people and like they have real like insight and like it shows in like the creative work that they put out there, like, and rebranding is a thing and like, you know, evolving is a thing. And like, that's, and like, who's, you know, and that's like, that's talking about a brand in general. And like, as people, we evolve so much and like, we shouldn't pigeonhole ourselves to like be this one thing, because in reality, everything in life evolves, like even a brand, like even, you know, like, it's just everything evolves. So I think that that's something that we all have to remember. It's like, if there's something that you have been like stuck on for a while or like feeling like you have to be in this thing, it's like, wait, no, like we can change, like things change all the time. And like, that's the beauty of life. Like it changes all the time. But yeah. And I think that's something also that like, I think I learned so much as well, like living here back in SoCal and like really taking care of my relationship that I have now with my boyfriend. His roommates are just like, so they're just amazing. And he has this one roommate in particular. He is a psychiatrist. Well, there are two psychiatrists in the house, but one of them's a psychiatrist, and like, he has helped us so much through our relationship and like has helped us so much on a personal level that like I didn't realize until I like started like being around them all the time and like learning, like, you know, like just interpersonal skills and like learning how like everything in life has to really do with like love. Like it really does. Like it's just like the love that you have for people and like the love that you have for yourself. And like, and it's all about character. Like, and it's like, it's like, if you can't like share that with the world, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't even know if I'm making sense right now.
No, you are. Like, it definitely makes sense. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, we all change and we all evolve. Inevitably,
right?
And you're gonna have those people that do stick by your side through that change because they understand, oh, this person can't do the same thing forever. Because that's like the other thing I always think of. I'm like, well, like the world's always changing, you know, like we're always evolving. I have to change with it.
Exactly. And
it's just about sharing what you love, because I think if you share what you love and you're genuine and your intentions, people are gonna see that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Totally. But it's taken me so long to get to that point, you know, like thinking back, I'm like, wow. Like, I think I loved it so much at the time. And then I just, as much as I still do love sharing recipes and things like that, it's just, I like sharing different ways of connecting and sharing different things as well, because like we've been saying all along, you are more than one thing. But I want to clear this up and ask you the last question. And what does health and wellness look like to you? Because everyone has a different definition of health and wellness.
Right. I think that health and wellness looks so different to me than it did like even just like 5 months ago. Like I feel like 5 months ago, it really felt like just eating really healthy and working out as much as you can and like being like spiritual. Like that's just how I felt. Like I was like, okay, like I just need to eat healthy. I need to get my mind right. So like I'm going to meditate all the time and I'm going to exercise when I can. And like now health and wellness looks so different to me. Like now it like it's about my relationships with people. Like it's about my character. Like obviously like eating healthy has a big, it's a big portion of that, but like it's not everything. Like exercising isn't everything either. But like for me, it's like everything in life is health and wellness. Like everything that I interact with is health and wellness. Like the way that I am, like especially in my relationships, like how I am with them, like that's wellness to me. Like being with someone or like the people around me, like taking care of them and like making sure that like they're doing great, right? Like I feel like that's what like health and wellness means to me a lot now. And like I feel like just being a good person is like health and wellness. And which is crazy because before I just thought it was just like this very like just physical thing. Like it was just like all about the body. But like now I realize like, oh no, like health and wellness is so much more than just what we eat and do like physically. Mm-hmm. It's everything. It's like our minds, our spirituality, like our connections that we have. Like it's so much more than that. So.
Mm-hmm. And I remember like health and wellness to me was like adaptogens and like matcha.
Exactly. Yeah. I went through that phase too, where I was just like, I have to put adaptogens in here or else like I'm going to be like a total like jerk today.
I feel you. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast and I can't wait it all to come out.
I'm so happy that we finished, like we actually did this, and like I'm so sorry if I went on like so many rants because that's just how I am. I just go on lots of rants.
Hope you enjoyed that episode with Dani. She is such an incredible soul. I'm going to be sure to leave all of her YouTube links and Instagram handle below. Make sure you go subscribe to her, go follow her for all of the wellness and just lifestyle inspo in general. As well, I will leave those Barcelona vegan recommendations. I'm still so incredibly grateful that she sent those to me because, like I said before, being a vegan in like a country that you've never been to before, you're like, what the heck am I going to eat? So if you need anything like that, I got your back. Again, I hope you enjoyed. If you could please leave us a review on Apple Podcast or subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends about it. I would so greatly appreciate that. And I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for tuning in again.